The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, bumper to bumper, inching along, not moving for what seems like miles. It's a familiar scene for many of you listening from Ireland's busiest road, the M50. But what effect is Ireland's most backed up motorway having on users' lives and even careers? News Talk Sarah Madden spoke to motorists earlier today.
Yeah, I've spent about an hour and a half trying to get to Racoole on the M50. I worked in Racoole for a while, so I've actually retaught my work situation because of it. It would take me 25 minutes without traffic, but any traffic could be an hour to an hour and a half.
I got stuck for 4 hours one day. I was on my way down to Wexford. There was a breakdown. Everyone was getting out of their cars, just standing inside the road.
I had to avoid it on Friday. It was an hour and a half home. That was from Dunleary to Glasnevin. So a motorway is slower than going straight through town.
It used to be a rush hour years ago, and now it's a bit of a rush 4 hours. You know, so from 7 till 11, I think, it's pretty heavy. And then on the way back, you're talking 3 till 7. It's pretty heavy. It'd probably be quicker going down the tertiary route, so to speak, the smaller roads, you know, to get to from A to B.
Very, very unpredictable. So I live in Castleknock. I had a job on the south side in Rathfarnham, and I actually had to leave that job because one Friday afternoon at finished work at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It took me about an hour to get home. And just with it being so unpredictable, child pickups from school, these sorts of things, you just can't be like that. It's a car park. Just like a car park.
And what sort of effect does that have on people?
Well, it's your quality of life. It's your time, isn't it? Because you're losing 3 hours a day, you know, where you could have a walk in, a bit of activity, whatever, you're sitting in traffic.
It can be a real toil on people sitting there, you know, waiting to get home from a day's work. But as I say to those people, just stock up on your podcast, you'll be laughing.
Okay, that was Sarah Madden reporting there. We're joined by Ger Herbert, motoring editor of the Sunday Independent. A rush, 4 hours and a car park, Ger. It won't surprise you to hear those verdicts.
No, definitely not. And I think the key thing, I spoke to a lot of people recently about the M50 and commuting, and unpredictability is the key word for everyone. I heard the guy saying, oh, stock up in your podcast. I think if you knew how long it was going to be, you might be able to plan around it. That wouldn't be a solution, but it might allow you to know that you're not going to make it home for the kids' bedtime, or you're not going to make it home for the party. But it's the unpredictability. It's the not being able to plan around it, that some days it's 2 hours, other days it's an hour and a half. I think that is a huge issue, Shane, and that is what's really, really on top of everything else, draining people.
Yeah, it's pretty much full, isn't it, the motorway at this stage?
It is. I mean, it's at capacity. That's the other thing as well. When you talk to people, you think actually it's at capacity, and then they tell you that it's actually that peak travel time, and peak is getting longer and longer. We hear is at an all-time high. Just when you think you can't squeeze any more cars onto the M50, it seems they are. And those, you know, that rush hour is extending all of the time. Now, TII are very much at this stage, we have done what we can. We can't extend it. We can't change it. We can't do anything. So, I mean, that's a pretty grim prospect for people who are on that road daily.
So what are the solutions, or are there any solutions to the conundrum, to the huge traffic gridlock that is there?
Like, in the end of the day, it's too many cars on it. That's the problem. But in terms of managing that, you could manage the road a bit better. Now, in the sense that there are already adaptive speed limits, but I'm not convinced that people actually abide by them at all, Shane. I mean, I've been on them so many times, and you see it, the overhead gantries will display an 80-kilometre speed limit, yeah. And that is designed to actually just manage the flow of traffic. Very few people are doing that. And even if you try and do that, you could be flashed off the road. But the other thing is, there could be a faster response to breakdowns. This is another huge thing that really that people really object to, is there could be a collision on the other side of the road and the traffic is slowed down because people are looking at it. Now, this would require TII obviously to have more people in order, just more bodies in order to be on the spot to be able to do this. But I think faster response to instances and collisions could be a big thing, because there's up to 2 or 3 collisions a day on the M50.
And how much of it is down to, this is something that frustrates me. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about serious accidents, but where there is a minor collision and the drivers of both cars insist on not moving their cars out of the way, even though it's a relatively minor collision, until the police arrive, which I always think is, I'm not sure what the purpose of that is.
Yeah, again, I mean, should there be just clear, you know, kind of rules about when you're travelling on a motorway, just get off it, get out of the car, stand behind the barrier and then just wait, because that just like obstructs everyone. But it's the same thing as the rubbernecking. Like, can we not just educate people that there are better ways of going from A to B? And if something happens, there's quicker ways around it without blocking everybody.
What about bringing in tolls across the M50? Because right now it's only tolled at a certain part between certain junctions, and you'll tell me what those junctions are. But you can go for large chunks of the M50 without paying a toll. Is there an argument for actually saying, you know, the whole thing should be tolled?
Yeah, there's only one toll. So, I mean, it is quite possible you can get on at one exit, you can get on at one slip road and then just go off before the toll. So it's just one point at the toll that is actually, and it's between Lucan and Blanchardstown. But the problem with that is, again, right, and there's very good evidence across Europe that if you toll a road, you will change the traffic flow and you will reduce the number of cars. But the problem with the M50, Shane, is there is very little alternatives for people. So if they don't go on that road, the chances are we're just going to push congestion onto other roads. We're not actually going to solve the problem, because those people who are priced out of the road because of the tolls will just go, I'll just drive somewhere else. They don't have an alternative. Because it's interesting, the Trinity College, the Centre for Transport Research, Brian Caulfield, the professor there, did a survey recently on M50 users, and they interviewed over 2,000 users. And the vast majority of them said that what they wanted was investment in public transport. So that clearly goes against the narrative that people like their cars and like to drive, and they just want to drive regardless.
Yeah, it does.
That means they do
and
want
yet,
alternatives.
Any of the services, the bus services, the orbital routes, they never seem to work, do they? Whenever we launch those orbital routes, because obviously the key thing, you know, you can go from Blanchardstown into town, but if you're going from, like that person was saying, from Castleknock to Rathfarnham, it's very difficult to get public transport. But when there are orbital routes, they don't seem to work. I don't know if they take too long. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, I think it's just speed and reliability and efficiency and all of those things. Because again, going back to that survey, as I said, most of the vast majority of people wanted public transport alternatives. But all of them said they had, about 50% of them said they had used public transport the week before and it still wasn't a viable alternative. So it does come down to speed and reliability. Like, it is pointless getting public transport if it takes 2 hours and your M50 journey takes 1 hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have to be realistic alternatives. But it is interesting that people do actually want that. They don't want to sit in traffic.
What about the idea, something I've never been able to understand, is we built the M50 and then we allowed, is it three shopping centres along it? You've got Talla, you've got Blanchardstown, and you've got the other one on the Galway Road. I can't think of the name of it. Liffey Valley. I mean, how big a factor is that? The level of development along the M50, that, and you've got IKEA as well. That must be a factor in some of the traffic.
I think that's probably one of the biggest factors, because, and this is where we're quite different from the rest of Europe. The rest of Europe, when they build an orbital route, it's left like that. What we did was we built around it to the point that we made it the main route. And we now actually feed traffic into the M50, and every one of these things do. And we continue to feed traffic into it because we build these car dependent suburbs around the M50. So I think that is the biggest problem, is we have created that instead of, and that's where why these orbital routes in other European countries work, because they don't build around them. They are left to do that.
Well, we don't really do planning in this country. We certainly don't do it that well. Lots of texts coming in that the M50, says the listener, try living in Galway. It's gridlocked all the time. John says, right now I'm on the M50. All the cars around me have only one person in them. Introduce car sharing. Is that I've seen that in American cities where they have a lane where if you've got more than, I don't know, two people plus, you can go in that lane.
Yeah, I mean, that is an alternative. And actually, again, I spoke to an expert about transporting the M50 and they were saying have a high occupancy vehicle and bus lane on the M50. So therefore encourage people, because obviously, I mean, if you have four people in the car and they're all driving and they're all normally taking their own car, it's a very quick and effective way to take three cars off the road. So it could be, again, it would come down to would people actually embrace the idea in Ireland? Would it be policed? Would it be enforced?
Would
you have other
policed.
People hopping into the lane?
It would absolutely have to be policed. Yeah, yeah. You'd have to have a fairly hefty
it would
fine.
Be.
I used to work
but
in Dundrum.
But it might be an alternative.
Yeah, it might. I used to work in Dundrum. I used to live in Blanchardstown, so I used to do a commute every day. I only quit my job because of the M50. It's the only reason I wrote my resignation letter. And one more text. next. They need to scrap the M50 charges and build an outer ring road. The M50 is not fit for purpose anymore, and no more charging on it to use the M50. I think if you didn't have any charges on it, I think the traffic would be even worse. I think that's the problem with that. Ger, always good to talk to you. Thank you. Sorry, lastly, I mean, there's no way of expanding. You can't put another road on over it or anything like that, is there? There's no solution in that respect, is there?
No, and again, experts will tell you the minute you do that, there are actually people, and it's hard to believe, who are avoiding the M50 currently, and their route goes a different way because they know the M50 is a car park. And if you actually widened it or extended in some way, a lot of those people would drift back, and before you knew it, bang, you'd be back in the same situation. So it's called induced demand. So that's not a solution either, Shane. Right. I think the M50 just has a problem for every solution.
A catch-22. Ger Herbert, motoring editor of the Sunday Independent. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.